I think your brother Billy would like this. He looks good.
I don't know. None of this seems like him.
Hey, friend. Is this more like it?
Yeah. Billy would have liked that.
I thought so.
Angels, catered memorial tributes, wings,
multimedia big screen tributes,
live music or DJ, sports themes, testimonials,
professional memorial MCs,
buffet with all your loved one's favorite foods, crossover champagne toasts.
Wait. Not all of us have the same tastes.
Oh, wait, this is terrific. I wish I were already dead.
Oh, she shouldn't have wished that.
Times.
Oh, man.
Between possibilities.
It's not gonna go good from here.
Between dreams. In the spaces of existence. Lurking. Crawling.
Welcome, friend, to non-existence. You say, well, how can this be non-existence? I'm existing. That is just one of many paradoxes here. So many, it's going to make that head you used to have spin. This is a place that both is and isn't. I had a friend in school one time that said, if you use a double negative in grammar, then it evens out just like numbers. So if I say, no, not, never, no, how, or something, you add those up and they can all negate one another, or they can make themselves positive. Is this the way it really is, in language or in life? Can things be both true and untrue at the same time? Can you exist or not exist at the same time? Well, let me tell you, if you're using language, then anything is possible. Because it can't mean anything, not just anything. For instance, let's say we're having a conversation and I say, for right now, dog means up. And, well, I don't know. I don't think that's right. Listen, my friend, who are you going to believe? Me or your lying brain? Open your mind. Now, this next act is a little unusual, to be honest. I've never seen anything like it. I doubt our audience has.
Is this even a good idea?
That's a good point, Oliver. Of course it's a good idea, though, because they are provocative and creative and strange and interesting and just plain weird. Please welcome Flayabondo.
I wish you and Emily great happiness. I love you. I move right on.
The years fly by like songs or news updates or ads or station IDs. Look for the early events of your life to the left of the dial and expect partial events of varying intensities from now until the whole thing ends. And remember, live. You never get two moments quite the same. Live. Makes life into another world. See the world live. And by standard. Standard and standing in since 88 kilohertz.
Here we go.
Hope you enjoy the ride. You're not complaining.
Yeah.
I turn the radio off so that you can hear your own thoughts if you're having them. They linger, thoughts. All right, boys, there we are. Taking you to your new room. Fun. Well, listen, my advice is just to enjoy the experience. You know, if you're having an experience, sometimes there's not much you can do about it. And maybe enjoy is too strong a word. I don't know, endure? Advice was keep going. Just keep going. I said, what do you mean keep going? What if I'm headed in the wrong direction? He said, how do you know it's the wrong direction? And if it is the wrong direction, turn around and keep going. Keep going in whatever direction you decide is the right one. Well, I took his advice and I'm still taking his advice. He said, if you don't like it, why don't you question it while you keep going? Keep going and then question the advice. If you stop it and then you decide that you should have kept going, well, it's too late. So you might as well do the thing. It's a bit like Pascal's wager. What does it hurt? What does it hurt to believe a thing? What does it hurt to do a thing if doing the opposite is hurtful? Well, I told him, I think I'm going to follow you for now. Just keep going. Is that what you said? He said, yes. Keep going. To the most silly of creatures, all joy. To the most hungry of creatures, well-fed. Long lines of help on the way.
What is it?
Parades of couches with old family and reassurances in them. Giant balloons of love memories.
Is that me?
Walk with the whole team with a variety of shirt colors and hats. Go from tired to rested or rest whenever. A child deserves to be taken care of long past the point they feel like a child. Let your anger wash
away
film
of my
life? Disappearing ink or stay fixed like a tattoo if you need it. The circus of forgiveness is in town. Always and in all places with good air circulation. Maximum light to all those that need it. Cool darkness to those that seek it. Wear the coat that came with the house if you forgot your coat. Drink the water that came with the land if you're thirsty. You're thirsty. Everyone is thirsty. Ride imaginary animals or real machines or imaginary machines. Take them to the edges of the field. Can't find them, can you? Orb farm. No fences. Build a wall on a ball? No. Clouds take the shape of clouds to hide from clouds. My face looks like a camel or a row of ducks eventually if it's made of water vapor. May your shadow find joy even. Mercy all the time, not like old TV that went to static near dawn. Bam, the end of torment and cruel decisions. Bam, the feast of all day warm or cool sitting and standing. Friends that get to see each other on the sidewalk daily. Help available daily. Place in the world daily. Hands on hands, on hearts, on shoulders of the long gone and yet to get here. Magic pictures take you away. Walk back to the Superior Hills with me. Each measurement brings us closer to the infinite. Each road ends the minute it's laid. Hoist up the banner that says, my spectacular messy birth in the world. Like a confused and panicked star screaming with rage and glee in overcrowded universe of one. Heads out the front door, bottoms out a window, scratching my back with the trees in the lot next door. Fireworks have made of words now. Not words, I mean sounds. Not sounds, I mean change. I am here and now I'm not here. I am gone and now I'm not gone. You might think we're standing at the seashore, some do. That's what they would imagine if they could imagine something. I'm standing at the seashore. Butchie always said,
He loves coming down to the pier when he's sad, or when he's glad, or when he has to get rid of a gun. All sorts of reasons to face the ocean, to look out upon its menacing vastness. Just keeps going. Might keep going after that. The whole curvature of the earth thing. I can't see the totality of it. Time is that way too. I can't see past a certain horizon in either direction. But I can look at my feet. Where are they? Sometimes I imagine they're floating over the water. There is no shore. There's just ocean. Behind me, a horizon. In front of me, a horizon. To my left, you guessed it. To my right, yes, that as well. All around me, in every direction. It disappears, the curvature of the earth. Then I know I'm standing on something that's, well, if not convex, complex.
I don't know what to order.
There's a lot on the menu, I'm going to give you that.
Can I have apple juice? Apple juice? Okay. Can we get some water, too, please?
I tell you, there's a drawback to sitting at the counter. First of all, you get waited on quickly. Second of all, you're sitting at the counter.
Yeah, well, I don't mind it. It's crowded today.
It is.
Kirby, can you pass me that
chair? Know, this place used to be the post office and a bank and the only church in town. And then they made it into a restaurant, and then they made it into a roller rink, and then they made it into a hair salon, and then they made it into a swimming pool, and then they made it into a bank again, and then they made it into a boys club, and then they made it into a girls school, and then they made it into a museum of sofas, couches, and Davenports, and then they made it into the sky itself, and then they made a vast hole in the ground. And then they filled it with the remains of everybody who ever was. And then they formed a mountain. And then they made a tunnel through the mountain. And then at the end of the tunnel, they had a theme restaurant called Pancakes and Souls. And there we all would sit down every week and have a different themed breakfast. And one a particular weekend, they had these pancakes that were based on, I feel like, levels of the human soul. I remember that the one on the bottom was sort of basic, and they moved up, and the highest pancake, the pancake on top, had too much in it, almost. It was too complex. But then, on top of that, something simple, something sublime, even. I don't know whether it was whipped cream, but it was something like that.
Oh, I want that.
I put a thought in my own head. I did that by opening up my head. A lot of times, if you go to take something apart, let's say it's a watch or a clock or a radio, you'll notice that the back is sometimes not meant to be opened. And that baffles me. There are other things, televisions and what have you, that have screws because you have to be able to access the vacuum tubes. The human body is like that. It has little bolts that you can undo, and then you can snap off different parts of it and say, get to your liver if need be. No, I'm not sure that's true. In fact, I know it's not. In fact, I know that Mr. Rogers would spend entire episodes disabusing children of that idea. He would disabuse them of the idea that they could fall apart, or part of them would go down the drain of the bathroom. The bathtub. So this is all a pattern of disabuse. My friend, I tell you, when I welcome you into a space like the one you're in, which might or might not be my mind, you can tell if it's my brain, if the floor is sticky. That isn't what you think it is. It's human tissue, and I think it's saturated with some sort of cerebral spinal fluid. You're soaking in it. It looks like palm olive, but I think it's a different color. I'm not sure.
Here's a doctor. He'll explain. Oh, so when she climbs up the ladder to the top of the tower, she's gonna plunge to her death. I see now. Thank you. Oh, yeah, whatever. Bosun, I love this side dish, but it needs something. Could you pass the... What, Captain? Oh, I forgot the name of it. I could just say salt, because that's what's in it, and that's what I need, but the holder has a name. This, Captain? What is the salt holder called? The cellar? Oh, this is gonna drive me mad. I'm sure it will, sir. It's not box. Salt box? I mean, it means the same thing. Oh, does anyone have their cell phone? Not at a timetable, Captain. Oh, right. Oh, this memory of mine. When you're trying so hard and the word you want is just beyond your grasp. A frustrating feeling, Captain. Salt cellar, salt cellar. Oh, it'll come to me in a minute. When you're not trying to think of a thing, that's when it comes to you. Excuse me, sir. Butchie. Yes, bosun? Hey, aren't we all supposed to be on the same brain wavelength or something at the table? Yes, ideally. Well, the captain can't literally think of a thing. I'm literally yelling out loud. Ah, he has a mental block, which is creating a perception cloak. He has decided he doesn't know something, so he has become incapable of learning or remembering it or whatever. That's right. Try asking him a question about himself. Captain, I believe you are from medieval Germany. Do you happen to know... Cellar! Cellar, I knew it would come to me. This is a salt cellar. What a crazy word, like the salt lives in a tiny dungeon. Crazy word. Salt cellar, cells... Salt cellar and salt cellar. Why isn't a store called a cellary? Right you are, bosun. Boo! Sit down, please.
Sit down, sir.
No, this is garbage. This is garbage.
It's traditional.
It's traditional garbage. Hey, you're terrible at puppets and this stinks. You think kids are dumb or cruel.
Sir, please.
Don't sir me. I got friends who are or work with puppets. And this is antiquated and vapid and violent. Puppets are potential soul vessels, you degenerates. Puppets should have a say in their stories. You can't use them for propaganda.
That's former traditional puppet Blinko. Like many puppets, Blinko wanted to take responsibility for his words and actions. But to take responsibility for his words and actions, he had to have control of them.
When I was a young person, I would walk from my house to a bridge, a small bridge that spanned a canal. On the banks of the canal under the bridge were a spot where a lot of things washed up on their way in or out with the tide. A lot of bones, fish bones, and small animal bones. Nasty-looking large fish skulls that appeared as if they could have been from prehistoric times. The smell under the bridge was a salty, rotten one, and when I collected some of those bones in a shoebox and brought them back to my room, I also brought the salty, rotten smell. My mother asked me to get rid of the bones. Then she asked me a question I still can't answer. Why on earth do you want a box of random bones?
You look tired this morning, Butch.
kept me awake last night with your mutterings.
I'm sorry. I dream out loud. Your room will be finished getting fumigated today, and you can get back into it.
I would rather sleep on a roller coaster.
A what?
A roller coaster at the fair.
A what?
A fair. Am I not saying my R hard enough? A fair.
Maybe. Roller coaster.
Roller coaster.
Roller coaster?
Well, what do you think it is?
Roller coaster.
Listen, I was taught to say that word by somebody I love, and I honor them by continuing to do so. And until they correct me, and they can't because they're dead, I will say it in that way because I have a sense of loyalty.
But what if it's wrong?
Good point. How do you say it?
Roller coaster.
Roller coaster.
Okay, you still have sort of a soft R thing, but anyway, I think you said it right, because you also said coaster. Anyway, why did you sleep on a roller coaster last night? Roller coaster last night.
Listen to this. Wanted. Subjects for an experiment. Must practice detachment and have working knowledge of utilitarianism.
Do we have that?
No, I don't.
I know I don't. I've heard of it.
I have, too. I think that's more than most people, so I'm going to consider myself expert level. I mean, if I know more than 90% of the population about a thing...
I see.
Expert. Like, I know the parts of the brain.
Wow.
Well, just the main three. But that's more than 90% of people.
Man.
So I'm a brain expert.
I see.
Now, a brain surgeon knows more than me.
I hope.
They know more than 99% of the population.
Ah, I see. So neuroscience is a spectrum.
All I know is never underestimate overconfidence. Did you ever think, why isn't overconfidence punished more by fate?
I have thought that, but then I think I'm not smart enough to think about that, so I don't.
It's because the universe secretly itself is full of crap.
The universe is a grandiose narcissist.
So personally, I have the confidence to walk into that office with this ad in my hand and say, I am good enough to be a human subject in your secret experiments.
What's the rest of the ad say?
Apply in person at the Ring Road Castle.
Ooh, spooky.
It's not spooky. People rent that place out for weddings.
But it's an old castle.
It was built in the 70s.
Well, it smells funny.
That I can agree with you on. Let's head over to the castle and see about being experimental subjects.
Butchie.
What?
I can't see you.
Why?
Probably all these red flags waving in front of my face.
Ignore them.
Go to the old castle and be human experimental subjects.
It's probably for a local psychology department, and the experiment is just too weird or dangerous to be sanctioned on university property.
Oh.
They gotta do some stuff off the book, so the interesting science just can't be done.
As someone who has benefited from time travel and consciousness transference, I see your point.
My dog Spiny is a reanimated dog carcass. You think those uptight, rigid-thinking academics would allow that kind of free-thinking innovation?
Okay, well, let's go to the castle. My grandfather would always say, so I don't understand. You don't look like you don't eat, but I've sat at a dinner table with you, and you don't seem to eat because you never stop talking. And I said, what do you mean? He said, whenever we sit down to eat, you just compulsively talk, and I never see any food go in your mouth. How is it that you even subsist? I said, Grandpa, you know I eat. I eat all the time. He goes, yeah, but just not at the dinner table. It's very strange that when we do sit down, maybe it's a restaurant or something like that, you begin to speak. And you don't even notice that maybe nobody's even speaking back to you. You just talk and talk and talk. Well, it might be just stuff you've done that day. For instance, my grandfather said to me, when you are describing a task that you had to do, you break it down into an infinite amount of steps. You reduce it. It's almost like it's a fractal. You've made it so it can, any one of the steps is an infinite amount of steps. So the other day you said, I had a million things to do. I had to get all my clothes together. Then I had to put them in a box. Then I had to put them in the car. Then I had to take them to the dry cleaner. Then I had to drop them off at the dry cleaner. And then I had to wait there to get a receipt. And then I had to take the receipt and put it in my pocket, get back in the car, that sort of thing. And he said that I did that with every story I told.
And then he told me that any story can do that, that you can take a very simple thing, a very simple task, and break it up into an infinite amount of tasks and make it sound like you did a lot of things. That's just language, he said. Otherwise, it's more of a continuum. I said, is that a little bit like Zeno's arrow? He said, what do you mean? I said, is time all broken up? Is it a series of events or is it some kind of continuous thing? He said, contiguous. I said, continuous. He said, contiguous.
Festive meal. When was it? Where was it? When was it? People have gathered around tables and or sat opposite one another at meals since the beginning of those meals. But when was that? The fierce storms of the ancient ages when people came together around fires or for warmth. In times of needing food or shelter, a great diversity of factors came into play. The magnificence of ships and cliffs or the near water. Words and ideas from across the seas. Since the gathering of individuals required strength and group effort, the table was introduced. And out across this land and others, many like it were born from raw materials in record numbers. Do you have a table?
Stop staring at me!
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't realize I was staring. I thought it merely a glance.
You were staring?
I beg your forgiveness.
Well, just stop staring.
Done.
Are you with anyone?
I am not.
Oh.
I am, however, waiting for someone.
Oh. Have fun with your friend.
He's not a friend, actually.
Slightly more.
Neither more nor less. I've never met him.
For whom do you wait?
Some chap named Hardy White. Which sounds like a wine or a soup or a whale.
Hardy White? But I am meeting Hardy White.
It seems he's double booked. Popular fellow.
He is trying to jeopardize us.
Indeed, perhaps.
I feel so stupid.
Don't.
I want to feel special.
I think you are reading far too much into this.
Yeah?
Yes. Maybe he wanted us to meet. Bringing together different types of beings is something he enjoys, I heard. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is Lou, and this is what happened to me when I went off looking for water in the House of the Rich.
Well, listen to the sounds.
Okay, Don.
There was no race in a race, no.
The water's in your... I couldn't have heard that right.
He's not gonna be said a lot, no.
Oh, all right. Well, what are you gonna do, right?
Bring umber. Bunchy and a curry. Short elements. One house.
Okay, got it. Butchie and Hardy, two elements, one house. Thanks, weird other dimension, Don.
Yeah, we're all far away.
Well, one of us is far away. That's kind of relative. I am in a rich person's house doing plumbing, though.
Thank you. Once upon a time in the Soviet Union, in Moscow to be precise, in the 1930s, a certain poet named Berlioz was taking a walk in the park with a friend, a man named Homeless.
It's a pseudonym. My real name is Ivan, but whose isn't?
The two men were walking and discussing a poem about Jesus when a stranger appeared out of the shadows. It was a strange and dark magician of uncertain origins, a professor named Woland or Voland.
Nobody knows how to pronounce it because, like he said, unknown origin.
He engaged the men in a debate about Jesus, insisting he was there at the time and offering a prophecy about Berlioz's death. It was a gruesome one, and needless to say, Berlioz was not amused.
It's like you're the devil.
Yes, I thought that was pretty obvious.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
The rest of the novel involves the devil fooling various people and writers torturing themselves, trying to live within the confines of the Soviet authoritarian state.
Hey, get back to the parts with me in them.
I'm afraid the whole story is too complicated to do in this format.
Does this mean that I'm not in it?
I do not know yet, Bohemoth. I'm negotiating with the narrator.
It's too late. I've already gone to Rapunzel's castle.
Then why can I still hear you?
Because you're the devil. You're ubiquitous.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sir John Falstaff. Who was Sir John Falstaff? Well, he was fat, he was morbidly obese, he was carbuncular, sudiferous, he was predatorial. Creep. And he was charming. He was funny. He was a funny, funny man. He said, not only am I funny, but I am the reason that others are funny. He was a knight, but he was a very, very poor knight. He was a friend of a prince, but not a prince of a friend. He was a symbol of an old England, an England that was romantic, in England where even evil was innocent. He was a force. And what he's about to say to you is one of Shakespeare's many tributes to booze, to alcohol, to substance abuse. Vomitous binges. And in this particular soliloquy, Sir John is touting what we call sherry and what they called in the 15th century Shadowsack. It is strong drink, as you know. Anyone who has had sherry just lost their minds completely on sherry, gone on sherry, terrible sherry binges. And he is saying you can't be a real man unless you have poisoned your blood and obscured your reason with this Sherisac. And so, Sir John comes to you and entreat you. Sherisac!
Cha-cha-boo. Is this seat taken? I hope not. I like to sit down next to people and visit. I like to point and see if they look at my finger or my eyes. I like to engage in strange sound exchanges. I like to cross my arms and stay silent for long periods of time. Sometimes I'll stand up and sit down without explanation. Sometimes I will explain things without having done anything. Sometimes I will apologize for nothing. Sometimes I will do nothing and still apologize. Sometimes I will tell people that my name is Apology and that my mother named me that in anticipation of all the trouble that I would get in. Oh, yes, I like to talk to folks. And I thought once upon a time I will use this not as a weapon, but as a way of protecting people. I say if you're born with hands that are like big boulders or maybe they're really sharp and somebody approaches you about maybe being in some kind of club of superhumans that are on some sort of mission, I say to them, hey, I'm going to stay a free agent. And the reason is I don't know how I want to use these things right now, but I don't want them directed by others. If I'm going to use my incredibly sharp hands or my hands that are made of rock, or better yet, sometimes they need hands that are made of paper. Why? Because paper covers rock. And you might have a rock hand guy on the other team that's doing harm. Look, I'm not here to help anybody. I'm not even here mainly to keep you company. You might not want any company. Sometimes you want to do things alone. I was in a meditation class one time, and I would go up and I'd say, hey, friend, need any help? And they'd go, shh. And they'd go, oh, I'm sorry. And they'd go, shh. And they'd go, look, you may not think you need help, but you really do. If you're going to lessen your attachments, you have to have a reason. And there's no better reason than introducing you to someone like myself who will help you shatter your attachments, at least to me. So, there we go. Start with me. You're not attached to me, are you?
Instead of the cold, hard facts, the expression should be the cold, hard butter, because it's always much colder and harder.
I'm not taking the bait.
I guess it's because language evolves. Like the expression spit and image was originally spit and homage, indicating that physically, spit, and conceptually, homage, the two things are identical.
I'm swimming away now.
Is it plus side or plus size? I've heard both used.
They're for different things. They're used for different situations. No one ever confuses the two.
Oh, so I made a mistake, but on the plus size, it was a teaching moment.
Why don't I learn? I'm going to go lie down in the cistern and pray for rain.
You're making a lot of fish out of water references. I never got that expression. I could see how a fish could be out of fish food.
Good morning, friends. Why is Butchie stabbing you with a fork?
It might be something I said. Come on, Butch. Stop sticking a fork in me. I'm done.
Does it matter where you go? I think if you were coming to my travel agency and you were asking for a good vacation or just a nice trip or an interesting trip, I would ask, does it matter where you go? Because if it doesn't matter where you go, then I'm going to give you some suggestions. And you're going to say, those don't sound very exciting. I say, I haven't said them yet. Say, well, if you say I'm going to give you some suggestions and you don't want to have any kind of preconceptions about where you want to go, then maybe that place won't be desirable on first glance. First glance, I haven't even said what it is. Listen. If it doesn't matter where you go, then I have some suggestions about where you could go. Oh, that sounds nasty. I didn't mean it like that. I don't want to send you to a place. I'm not going to send you to purgatory or anything like that. I'm going to send you on a vacation.
Great God, attend while Zion sings the joy that from thy presence springs.
To spend one day with thee on earth,
one day with thee on earth,
exceeds
days of a thousand days of mercy.
To spend one day with thee on earth,
to spend one day with thee on earth, exceeds a thousand days of mercy.
All Things Rockford Explained.
Hello and welcome to my 5-hour Rockford Files explanation video. A lot of theories that you hear about Rockford have explored the religious aspects of it. Is Rockford a religious character? Is he a Christ figure? We know that he was in the army and he left the army and he was wrongfully put in prison. That's where he met a lot of people like Angel. Angel, we have the name Angel. Is he a fallen angel? Rockford operates outside of the law, but a sort of justice that's an extra legal justice, but not in a vigilante sort of way, but in ways that the law is blind to. Dennis doesn't see this. We evokes Saint-Denis. Now, I want to get more into his relationship with Angel, and let's hear this clip, because I think this clip is indicative of what their relationship is like.
Oh, well, you got a hip. You got a hip, Jimmy. You got a hip. Old Angel is not going to be any problem at all, Jimmy. I tell you, Jimmy, I told you you got a hip. No problem at all, Jimmy. You got a hip.
Hello. Hello. Here we are at a booth at the World's Fair. I don't remember the year because I was reading a magazine on the way here. It's the 50s. We're recording a real vinyl record that can be played on a conventional record player like Hardy has in the rec room. Butch, say a few words. I'm bored and this is dumb. The only upside is I can use this to scratch. Join me now in welcoming Butchie.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
You don't have to go wiki, wiki. That's the actual scratching.
How much longer do we have?
Tell them what we had for lunch, Butch.
Oh, brother.
We had a...
I heard the bell the first time.
I heard the bell the first time, but I ignored it, and I figured you would too. But now the bell rings on in my head, and I am stirring.
You see, the bell's purpose is a request for assistance.
I request assistance. I need it.
I require assistance to survive in the world.
Much like a lift button, a single press begins the process of summoning the lift, which will arrive at your floor after it has completed its other tasks in the order they were requested.
That's like prayer.
Very similar to prayer.
After I pray for something, I don't know when to stop hoping, since sometimes the time between cause and effect is long.
Cause and effect are not instantaneous, relative to your perception, at least.
Relative to my perception, I might not get the answer to my prayer until long after I am dead, but I need somewhere to stay now. I need somewhere to stay now.
Well, by some miraculous and fortuitous occurrence, you've come to a hotel, a fact that drastically increases your chances of getting a room.
Do you have my room?
So sorry, actually no, we're completely booked. No available rooms.
My friend checked into this hotel. I think it's the one he checked into. I keep coming back to my hotel room. Do I have a room at this hotel? It looks familiar, but it feels darker or different or days after I left. Haven't I left this hotel? What's my room number? Ugh, it's not on the key. Why isn't it on the key anymore? I thought I left this hotel. Hey, friend. Are you staying here? I don't know whether I'm staying here or not. I was just somewhere else, and then I wasn't, and then somebody was like, rolling me down a hallway or something, and that person was me. We got in an elevator, and then we went down a hallway, and then there was little bits of movies and stuff like that. I remember that. Little bits of television shows. Songs. All mixed up and out of order, like a strange experimental radio show. And now I'm here. I'm staying in one of these rooms. I guess I got all turned around. I'm not a drinker, but maybe I had a drink, and that's the problem. It's one of those things, drinking. After the first one, your decision-making ability goes downhill, exponentially. That can't be a good thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bunny's Bar and Grill would like to present the Swank.
Oh, I like that. What? Are we at a club? Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember coming here.
Yeah.
Can't hear a word I'm saying, can you?
Bailey?
I guess this is the bar at the hotel. I'm gonna head back to the room.
All right.
Huh. Well, this isn't terrible. I'm gonna sit here for a while. A lot of times in these old hotels, they'll have little rooms, little sitting areas. You know, before people were constantly in need of stimulus, didn't need to have TVs all the time or computers or whatever. They had these little rooms you could just sit, you know, relax, do nothing. Maybe have a book or two. And just kind of look around, look at the walls. People took time to make the place, you know. Nowadays, buildings aren't like that. There's nothing to see.
But it used to be you could sit in a chair and just sort of look at the walls or look at the windows. You know, people thought about it. People thought, if someone's going to be looking at this window, I should make it right. So they would try to spend as much time or more on making the thing that you were looking at than you would spend looking at it. Now imagine how much time they'd spend making it if you spend no time looking at it. Butcher, your record is skipping. Bushy. Your record is skipping. Bushy. I often think that if there was a record of my life, what if it skipped? What if a part kept replaying over and over again? And I just didn't notice it, you know. If I was always in the middle of things, if I'm always in the present, how would I know if the present keeps playing over and over again? I guess they have movies like that. You only know if you're in the audience, or you're the filmmaker, I guess. But the actors, they know about a movie they're in. Who is it that's in a story but then doesn't know it? I guess only fictional characters. Am I a fictional character? If I know nothing about the story I'm in, why, that's less than an actor. That's less than anybody making a movie. Only the characters don't know they're in a movie. Only the characters don't know they're in a story. Now, if we've been written, that's very interesting.
You creep me out. Stop telling people you're my dad. I'm just messing with you. Oh, for God's sake, split up with the camera.
I'm out here going through this field for you because I'm going to look for something. Very important, and I would normally not do this for anybody but you, but I think it's more interesting on these type of programs if you get out in the wild and you look for the thing that you've been looking for. And what we're looking for is a sort of meaning. That's not true. What we're looking for is a sort of... Hello? Hello, Hardy? That's weird. I was just talking to myself, and then I guess I hung up on myself. That's so strange. Often I will be with myself, and then I suddenly find I'm not with myself. I was speaking to a friend the other day about these movies we like. I won't bore you with what they are. And it was by a certain filmmaker. And maybe we were saying that in some of his films, that the character would do something that would divide them from themselves. So they'd do something so unbearable to their own soul that they would disassociate. They would make that another person, and they would become two thems. And then their bad or disagreeable self, or whatever you want to call it, would become just as much a menace to them as to anybody else. And by just being unable to be yourself. And I've felt that momentarily. You know, you do something that you're so disappointed in yourself, and it rises almost to the level of self-loathing that you just can't bear to be you. And then you start thinking, well, who am I anyway? So not being myself, maybe that's not a terrible thing. I'll go over here and make a fresh one. I've made several fresh me's over the years. I've done that, so I won't make a new one. And then you wonder, the old ones, I think, are lurking around in the closets of my mind palace. I say it's a palace. It's more like, it is large though, but it's more like one of those Victorian houses that's been converted to student housing. And I believe that I share my mind palace with others.
that, you know, they've gotten in there and they go, well, this whole room is all of the religious mythology that you are just absolutely sorry about that. It's like one of those historical zones. If you have a historic house and you go, I'd like to change the windows, and they go, nope, you got to put back in, you know, you'd have to put back in like 18th century windows. And you go, that's crazy. They were like lead glass. And they go, well, sorry. And I feel that way sometimes with my worldview. I go with these big sections of my consciousness that is built on these constructions that were bequeathed to me, and maybe I don't like them. And you, and they're just in there, and they're connected to so many things. I feel like maybe they're a load-bearing wall of my worldview. But I smash it all down anyway. I like to lose myself in my bearings. I say, I don't know if anything I believe is right or wrong or anything. I'm going to float freely. I understand what a grand illusion I live in. What a strange world and dream I am in. And how awful and wonderful at the same time it can be. And I am not going to fool myself into thinking I know where I am, because that erases some of the fun and it also just doesn't seem right. How would I know? I know what I know. I don't know much. I know my little brain. Tell me, you know a little bit of my brain. Does it feel big enough to comprehend even the smallest part of this existence? No, no, I don't take that as an insult. I feel the same way about your brain, or any brain, really. Let's put a bunch of them together. Knock yourself out. Go ahead. Put a bunch of them together. What are we going to figure out? Oh, maybe something absurd. Wonderful, beautiful writers and thinkers have thought that for a long time. They'll think, maybe the answer to everything is so absurd we won't even understand the answer. Ha, ha, ha. What a big joke. Joke's on us. You know what? If the universe is a joke, it could be worse things. There are worse things than a joke. It could be a very, what if it's a very slow dance number or something? Very slow song. It's not even a joke. What if it's just a, I don't know, what if it's a commercial for something? That'd be no good. But a joke, I don't like cruel ones anyway. And maybe because I'm a delicate soul, but not really. I've loved, that's a curse sometimes. I'm loved so I can love. And that makes me feel like maybe everybody's precious. And everybody is deserving of kindness. And everybody's deserving of not suffering. And I'm fine with that. So what if you had to give up a foot massage for somebody to eat? And they go, well, that's an eat. You're going to have to make them harder than that. But we'll get back to that. Yes, I would do that. So, well, go ahead. Okay, well, it's just hard for me to organize as a single individual. But I'll, you know, I would feed the world. But some of y'all are actually putting up laws against it. So I don't know what to do about that. We'll try to do. I will go up with my fervent wishing, which often, sometimes I will chant my fervent, futile wishing. But listen, maybe you have some power or something. You can do something. Oh, bless you. Thanks for being my friend. Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And let me tell you something. It's because of this wonderful radio station we're on. You were listening to Miracle Nutrition is the name of the show. I'm Hardy White is the name of the person. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York. And online at WFMU.org or ORG or ORG. And I think it stands for oregano. And I don't know what that's one of those crazy. It's like the Google server used to be Akibono. Okay, everybody, so much love and affection for you, and I will see you again next week.
Thank you. Shorty on his knees, man. All day smoking out, man. See the big plan. Make the loop, then dip, man. Who the man?
Golly. You silly, but good.